Hello, everybody. I'm Parrish Alford.
And I'm Logan Lowry, and this is Double Coverage.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State Talk brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everybody. This is Parrish Alford. I'm joined by Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State writer, and this is another edition of Double Coverage, a production of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. Logan, how are you, man?
Doing good, Parrish. And I've talked for the last couple of weeks about just finally getting through with football, and this week's been everything I hoped it would be. I've gotten a lot accomplished this week, just not having that on my plate, just a little bit of baseball this week. And it's been on the road, which has been good. I've had to go up and do a couple of interviews at the school, but, you know, I finally had a little bit of time to catch up on some things around the house and get a couple of things accomplished, and feel pretty good about myself right now.
Well, that's good. You know, football is always nearby, man, and there was some football news for Ole Miss this week. We'll talk about that a little bit relative to the NCAA investigation, and the draft is around the corner. I've been trying to run down some pre-draft interviews with players when I can get them and agents when I can't. More times than not, Logan, it's about dealing with the agents right now, and I've been able to speak with some representing Robert Kimdichie and Laquan Treadwell from Ole Miss, and spoke again with Dak Prescott's agent, Rick Roberts, earlier in the week as well. We can talk about that a little bit, and the draft is next week, and I'll be attending. It's going to be a big day for Mississippi. It looks like three Ole Miss players in the first round. Three are projected. Now, Robert Kimdichie's situation with his off-the-field issues kind of complicates matters for him a little bit. It's possible he could slide to the second round, although most people still project him in the first round. Chris Jones from Mississippi State projected in a lot of first-round mock drafts, and Dak Prescott, his agent says he thinks he'll go higher than people believe, and we'll talk about that a little bit as well. The draft is next week. Before we move on, folks, I want to remind you about some other things to look for, some Daily Journal podcast productions. Be sure to search for The Memo where you go to look for your podcast. That's our news podcast with Brad Locke and Derek Russell. All things Northeast Mississippi. It airs every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And every Wednesday, look for Prep Rally, High School Sports with Brad Locke and Gene Phelps. Normally, we're with you on Thursday with Double Coverage, but with the Rebel Road Trip being in town on Thursday, that kind of made it difficult for us to produce. So we're here for you today, and we're going to talk a little Rebel Road Trip. Logan, first of all, the big news to come on Thursday from Ole Miss was not what was said at the Bancorp South Conference Center in Tupelo, but what was said after when Ole Miss Athletics Director Ross Bjork released a statement saying that the NCAA response by Ole Miss presented to the NCAA in response to the NCAA's notice of allegations, alleged violations in the football program, that was made official late January. So Ole Miss has been in the stage of preparing its response. The deadline for that had been today, but it has been extended by 30 days because a third party, someone mentioned in the allegations, requested an extension for their own response. You know, that was always something that that could happen, and it did. So that window for Ole Miss to respond has been extended to basically May 22nd, I think, would be 30 days out. So late May. After that, the NCAA has 60 days to basically write its case summary, write its response to the Ole Miss response. And after that, Ole Miss will have a hearing before the NCAA. A date will be set for that. And so when you put all of those days together, Ross Bjork says he is looking for hopefully a late summer conclusion to the NCAA investigation into Ole Miss football. The other thing that he said on Thursday was that nothing has changed from the Ole Miss case. There have been no changes, no additional allegations. no amendments. Everything is the same as the case had been, except that the response time has extended 30 days. So that's where the rebels are with the NCAA investigation. And, you know, that was kind of the first topic that Bjork hit at the Bancorp South Conference Center on Thursday. And, you know, not a lot that he can say about that publicly right now. He has said that once the Ole Miss case is presented to the NCAA, its response, I should say, that the Ole Miss response will be made public for everyone to see, will be clearly presented on the school's website. And so people can take a look at that as soon as the Ole Miss response reaches the NCAA. So all that's coming up, but that's where it stands right now. So in this public setting here, you know, of course, he gets a lot of questions about it, so he just launches into it early in his presentation and basically says, look, we can't say a whole lot about it right now. He says that we believe wholeheartedly in what we do, how we do, and why we do. Ross Bjork has always talked about wanting transparency in the athletics program. He says that that they have achieved that, that they're very confident in what they're doing and confident in their case, eager to tell their story. And basically right now he's urging Ole Miss fans to have patience and trust. Trust that the athletics department is going to prepare a very good response, and that they've been doing things the right way and in a transparent way. That's the message from Ross Bjork right now. And that was kind of the initial theme of the Rebel Road Trip stop on Thursday. And, you know, these programs are the same throughout the state and the towns that that they visit. And kind of the other thing that that is the Hugh Freeze portion of the stop has been really just to talk about core values, the core values of the football program and the athletics program, and how holding true to those as individuals, whatever your core values are, will help you through difficult times such as uncertainty around the NCAA investigation. So that's kind of the message coming from those guys right now. The other message is that they have a lot of momentum in football. Football has improved each season under Freeze, and that's something that they believe will continue. They do not intend for that momentum to slip away. So that's kind of the Rebel Road Trip wrap-up, Logan. I know you guys, you've got one to cover coming up next week, right?
Yeah, it actually started yesterday. The Road Dogs tour itself just started yesterday. I think their first stop was in Meridian and in Cleveland, Mississippi. Then they've got several other stops around Texas and Alabama. I think they're going up to Tennessee and in Georgia. But the one that kind of hits for us is Tuesday in Tupelo. I'll be there at the Bancorp South Arena. That'll actually keep me away from the Governor's Cup on Tuesday. It's kind of the first time in a while that I've missed that game. But for time constraints, there's just no way to cover both events. So I'll, you know, I've had to choose one. So I'm choosing the one in the actual town that we produce a paper in. So, you know, I don't usually come to Tupelo a whole lot during the year, but it'll be cool to come up to Tupelo and kind of see where the paper's produced. I might actually stick my head in the office for a change. And,
yeah, got to cover where the checks are signed, Logan.
Exactly.
Poke your head in, man. Go meet some people.
Exactly. And, you know, for that stop, Dan Mullen and Ben Howland and Vic Schaefer are all going to be there. And it's a cool event. I went last year. It was at the Tupelo Furniture Market a year ago, and Manny Diaz was there. Vic Schaefer was there. Scott Strickland. Ben Howland was supposed to be there, but he actually had to cancel at the last moment to host Eric Holman on his official visit to Mississippi State. And obviously things worked out well there. Eric Holman ended up signing with Mississippi State and contributed late during the SEC season. But, you know, it's going to be a cool event. I've been to some of these things where Dan Mullen spoke at in the past. I went to one in Philadelphia where he and Scott Strickland were the only two speakers. So it's cool when Mullen's there. It's always a different vibe when you have the head coach there and speaking. It usually leads to a bigger turnout. So, Yeah, I've got a few things I want to talk to Dan about, you know, wrapping up the spring. I also want to talk to him about running the Boston Marathon last week. That was a pretty cool accomplishment for a guy that's never even ran a 5K race or anything. And he goes up there to Boston and competes in one of the most prestigious marathons in the world and finishes it, you know, and has a pretty good time.
Well, that was a very nice accomplishment. I really do admire people who are able to take that on and finish. But I was wondering, will they drop him off in Oklahoma and let him run on up to Tupelo? It'd be about the same.
I don't know. He may have already broken his training. I'm not sure. I'll have to ask him, you know, when's the next time he's put on the running shoes and gotten back out there. I know if I had to run 26.2 miles, you could probably call the corner to come pick me up. But, it was for a good cause, too. He raised $40,000 for charity running in that race. So that's a cool thing, too. But, you know, since the last time we had our podcast, Parrish, Mississippi State played their spring game. And it was a pretty neat deal, you know, just to see some of the, I guess, you know, just the atmosphere and stuff around Mississippi State with Super Bulldog weekend and everything that goes with that. That's always, you know, one of the coolest weeks out of the year. You just see the campus packed like it was and nearly set another attendance record at baseball. It was actually the second largest on-campus crowd ever to witness a college baseball game. And the baseball series itself didn't go so well. They got swept by Texas A&M, and we'll get into more of that later when we get into baseball. But, you know, from the football side of things, didn't really see a whole lot of separation between those quarterbacks, and, you know, really wasn't expecting to because, you know, in the first two scrimmages that I saw, all four of those guys, you know, had similar numbers. And it was the same case on this past Saturday. You know, it's just, nobody's really emerged as a leader. I still think it's Nick Fitzgerald's job to lose at this point, but it's going to be a competition. And I think Dan Mullen's probably going to have that competition probably go all the way up until the first game and maybe even a couple of games. He may just rotate guys through those first few games to kind of get a feel for who does the best on the field in an actual game. So I think we'll see a lot of those guys rotating in and out. The one thing that I did take away from the spring game was the defense. I was really impressed with what I saw from Peter Sermon's defense, that new 3-4 look. They had a really, yeah, I guess, you know, they had several interceptions during that game. I'm trying to think of who all did. It's been so long ago. Mark McLaurin had two interceptions. I'm sorry. One of those was off of Dak Prescott. They ran a Dak Prescott trick play to try to throw the touchdown pass to Anthony Dixon. I think they've had that for 5 years in a row. And they threw a pass to the sideline. Dak Prescott steps off the sideline in street clothes and fires it downfield to Anthony Dixon, who's in street clothes. And Mark McLaurin runs over and picks it off and returns it about 50 yards. So that play didn't work this year. It would be interesting to see what they've got up their sleeve for next year. But, you know, Mark McLaurin had a really good scrimmage. Jonathan Calvin was really impressive. The rising senior defensive end. He was in a backup role a year ago, but he had four sacks in that spring game, and that was very, very impressive. You know, Mississippi State's looking for a guy to rush off the edge, you know, in that 3-4 look, and obviously he shined in the spring game there too. And the guy on the other side, on the other team, Will Coleman, he only had one sack in the game, but you know, he affected the game in other ways. He batted a pass into the air that A.J. Jefferson intercepted. He was rushing the quarterback and creating, you know, incompletions and stuff. He broke up a couple of passes. So, you know, he really had an impact on the game. And you know, just I was really impressed what I saw from the defense. And, you know, some of the young wide receivers, too. You know, Malik Deer, Dedrick Thomas, Keith Mixon, Jonas Spivey. You know, all of those guys, you know, out of those group, Malik Deer was the only one that played, and he played as a true freshman last year. So you're talking about, you know, one guy with game experience, and all four, however many of those I named, I guess I named four, really had an impact on the game out there in the spring. That was encouraging to see, you know, when you have a Fred Ross and a Donald Gray on the sideline with injury, Darunye Wilson declaring early for the NFL draft, Fred Brown getting kicked off the team. So Mississippi State's going to need some of these young receivers to step up, and those four guys really did this spring. Keith Mixon had an unbelievable spring. He was probably the most consistent of that group, but all four of them really, really had an impact this spring and shined for some of these quarterbacks that are vying for that starting spot. So that was really encouraging to see.
Well, Ole Miss wrapped up spring a week ago, did not have a spring game, but I was able to visit with Hugh Freeze after the Rebel road trip on Thursday, and we talked a little bit about different positions. Number one, you know, quarterback is never far from the conversation. Ole Miss has the most experienced and proven quarterback returning in the conference this year, and Chad Kelly is recovering right now from the sports hernia surgery. He's about 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks out of that, so he's really just beginning the process where he's going to do different things, being able to do different things in his rehab. It's not expected to keep him out of August practice or anything like that, and how much he'll be able to participate in the summer strength and conditioning and the voluntary workouts and whatnot, you know, probably a little bit deeper into the summer, I guess, after the exams and school gets out. You know, they'll get started with summer school in June, maybe the latter part of June. He's doing more of that. But Freeze said he really hadn't been around campus. He's been on the road tour, so he hasn't seen Chad Kelly just a whole lot. But got a question from a younger fan in attendance yesterday, a fan who, well, probably was able to miss some school to be at this event. And he asked Freeze, Coach Freeze, do you think Chad Kelly will win the Heisman? And Freeze's response was, it's an honor that he's in the conversation. And, you know, it's kind of all coming fast for Chad Kelly. You know, he's going to have that hype because he is the most experienced quarterback coming back in the SEC. That's a quarterback award, Logan, even though Derrick Henry won it last year, the Alabama running back. You know, eight of the last 10 winners have been quarterbacks, and the two in that time that were not quarterbacks were Alabama running backs. Mark Ingram won it in 2009. But Freeze believes that Kelly can have not only the same success that he had last year, he believes he can exceed that success. He talked about Chad going into the 2016 season with more experience and therefore being able to cut down on turnovers earlier in the season. You look at him in the first half of last year, and he threw the touchdown passes, and he hit some nice deep balls, and he did those things. But he also had some interceptions. Now, with Kelly, when he had a turnover, it was an interception. It wasn't just about ball protection and fumbles and things like that. When Bo Wallace had some turnovers now, you could usually count on a fumble in the mix somewhere as well. That was something that Wallace struggled with and was never really able to distance himself from in his career. With Kelly, it was more about learning the system, getting comfortable as the starter, picking up speed of the game. And when he did those things, he began to play at a higher level in the second half of last year and began to cut down on his turnovers, to cut down on his interceptions. Then Freeze thinks he can do that from the beginning of this season, and he thinks that Kelly has a chance to really surpass what he did last year, which was throw for more than 4,000 yards, 31 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. So that certainly would put him in the conversation for the Heisman Trophy. But as Freeze responded to the young fan on Thursday, a lot of that has to do with what kind of season Ole Miss is having as well. Another springtime topic for Ole Miss football has been the number two quarterback. You know, they're entrenched there at number one. Who's number two? Freeze came out of spring saying he wasn't sure if Shea Patterson, the true freshman, was going to play. The number one quarterback recruit last year, an Ole Miss signee, an early enrollee. Obviously, they spent a lot of time with him in the spring getting him ready to play. But, you know, Freeze still left open the possibility that Shea Patterson would redshirt. But when I asked him the question on Thursday, who's your number two quarterback, whether that's Patterson or redshirt freshman Jason Pellerin, his response was, well, it's a slash between those guys right now. So it doesn't really sound like Shea Patterson's going to redshirt. You know, if there's a slash there, you know, that guy's getting ready to play. And look, he needs to. You know, you need to just get past the redshirt conversation right now. Guys, you know, when they come to campus as the number one recruit at their position, the number three or number four overall recruit, those guys aren't looking to stay 4 years. They're not expecting a four-year college career. You know, and then they see underclassmen leaving from Ole Miss with Dante Moncrief, three more this year with Laquan Treadwell, Robert Kimdichie, Laramie Tunsil, the poster children from that class of 2013 group. You know, they get to college and they're thinking that they're three-year players. Now, whether they are or not, you know, that's kind of what the mindset is. And as Ole Miss has seen in the past with Jevon Snead, sometimes guys make that underclassman jump when they're not ready. Sometimes guys just get it in their mind that they're supposed to, and it's hard to change that mindset sometimes. All that being said, I know that's a consideration in whether you play or redshirt Shea Patterson. So if you're only going to have him for 3 years, you go ahead and get him some experience as a true freshman, get him in games behind Chad Kelly when you can, and he's that much more ahead of the game when his sophomore season rolls around. So right now, a slash at number two quarterback between Shea Patterson and Jason Pellerin as Ole Miss moves from spring football to the off-season strength and conditioning.
Yeah, and for Mississippi State, it's been a busy week on the recruiting front since Saturday. Mississippi State's picked up five commitments over that span, and four of those came on Saturday, and the four of those were in-state guys. You had a couple of guys from Callaway High School, a three-star defensive end, Aaron Odom, for next year's class, and then 2 years away, a four-star wide receiver, Malik Heath, 6'3", 194 pounds already. You know, before his junior year even begins. So he'll be, you know, a long time before 2018 when he can sign a national letter of intent. But, you know, two big pickups from Callaway High School. Then they got another 6'3" wide receiver from Ocean Springs and Austin Williams. And then they got an offensive tackle, Paul Gaynor from Goshen down on the coast. So, you know, four big pickups right there on Saturday, and then they follow back up with a four-star linebacker, middle linebacker from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, plays for St. Thomas Aquinas. I think I pronounced that right. You know, a big-time program, one of the most nationally renowned programs out there, and, you know, a four-star guy had, you know, a dozen offers on the table. So, you know, he's rated the number 10 middle linebacker in the country, and, you know, that's obviously a huge pickup anytime you can pick up a player of that caliber, and especially to go, you know, in the greater Miami area and pick up a guy like that. You know, it's definitely not a known pipeline for Mississippi State. Obviously, there's a lot of schools that recruit in that area. So for Mississippi State to go down there, pick him up, he had offers from Arkansas, Kentucky, LSU, Tennessee. Those are just some of the SEC offers that he had. You know, so definitely a player for Mississippi State fans to get excited about. And that kind of pushed their 2017 class into the top 10. They're ranked 10th currently. I think they were 9th when they picked up Tyler Dunning's commitment. I guess another team has jumped them in that top 10 right now. So Mississippi State's sitting at 10th. And obviously that's a lot better than the last couple of classes that they've signed. And, you know, that 2018 class is ranked up there as well. So Mississippi State, you know, getting the job done early in the process. It seems like it's happening earlier and earlier. I know when I covered recruiting for Rivals.com for 5 years, most of Mississippi State's commitments would come in the summertime, especially around that big dog camp in July. But now they've kind of sort of centered the spring game around that a little bit. You know, those four commitments came on the day of the spring game this past week, and all four of those guys were there. So it was a big day for Mississippi State, just not only to have, you know, the record crowd at baseball, spring game that day. They also picked up four commitments on that day. So it was a big weekend for Mississippi State.
Well, it's going to be a big baseball weekend. Both teams trying to come off of disappointing weekends. You mentioned State got swept at home by Texas A&M. Ole Miss went on the road to Alabama, won the Friday game, had a chance to win the series, and really just kind of returned to an offensive funk that they struggled with against Mississippi State. They had really improved, had won five in a row, had shown more life on offense since leaving Starkville, and now they've kind of reverted. It'll be interesting to see what they can get done against Auburn. Auburn is a team now, Logan, you're very familiar with their head coach, Butch Thompson, the Monroe County native there, having been at Mississippi State for several years. And he's the pitching guy. You know, he's the pitching coach, and he goes to Auburn right now. It's his first year. But they have a staff ERA of 4.27, which is 11th in the SEC, yet they're the number two hitting team right now at 3.17. It's kind of like when Freeze was hired at Ole Miss, his first couple of teams had more success with defense than offense. So just kind of an odd change right there. But has State played Auburn yet this year?
They have not. They played them one, and that's one of their last series this year. But, you know, Butch didn't take that job until I think it was around October or November. So he hasn't even been with them, you know, even, you know, I guess it's about 6-7 months now. So don't see a whole lot of, you know, he was with Mississippi State through the fall practices. So, you know, I'm sure Auburn's still getting adjusted to Butch Thompson. Mississippi State's still getting adjusted to Wes Johnson, their new pitching coach. So it's a little bit of both, you know, for each team, you know, with that transition there.
Yeah, that was odd timing. It was a unique parting of ways between Auburn and Sonny Galloway, and Butch Thompson had been up for that job before. And certainly the second time they went to him quickly, and you know, an SEC job is always a great opportunity. Ole Miss, we'll see if they can get back on track offensively. Pitched it well against Alabama, pitched it well enough to win, except in the Sunday game. You know, what has been kind of a staple for Ole Miss this season, the bullpen, let them down in that game. They didn't get much offense, but it was 1-1 in the fifth inning when Mike Bianco went to his bullpen and Alabama struck for 6 runs on 6 hits in the bottom of the fifth against 3 different Ole Miss relievers. That's been unusual for the Rebels this year. Usually it's the bullpen that comes in and provides some stability. And in a 1-1 game last Sunday with the series on the line, the Rebels could have held it close and maybe scratched out enough runs later, but that was not the case, and they lost 7-2 in that decisive game. So the Auburn series, first game tonight at 6:30. Game times are 2 o'clock on Saturday and 1 o'clock on Sunday. The last two games will be available to – you can see those on the SEC Network. All three you can find with live streaming on the Watch ESPN app. And what are the game times for Mississippi State, Logan?
Well, they're heading down to Baton Rouge this weekend. They play at 7 o'clock tonight, 6 o'clock tomorrow night, and noon on Sunday. That Saturday game is going to be on ESPNU, and then the Sunday game is going to be on ESPN2. But for Mississippi State, you know, I mentioned the Texas A&M series. Parrish, I don't think I've ever seen a team hit the ball as well as Texas A&M did this past weekend. I mean, it was really, really impressive. If I have seen it, it's been a long time since I have. They scored 30 runs on 47 hits. I mean, they were just hitting the ball all over the place, and it wasn't cheap hits. I mean, some of them were, but most of those balls were hit hard and found holes and just really clutch hitting by the Aggies. They're the most impressive team that I've seen this year. You know, their pitching's not elite, but it's good enough for that offense that they have in that dugout. Their defense is pretty good. They're just a complete team, but that order 1 through 9, everybody in that order can hit the ball. I mean, look at their number 9 hitter. I think he was hitting about 340, you know, by himself. So, I mean, he's hitting number 9 in that order. It is just an unbelievable team from Texas A&M, and obviously they put it on the Bulldogs. And it wasn't in Mississippi State played that bad. I mean, Mississippi State had it within 1 run several times on that weekend and even went up by a run during that Sunday game. And, you know, as soon as Mississippi State scored 4 and went up by a run, Texas A&M put up 4 runs in the next inning. It was like, well, you know, I guess we'll have to get our bats back out and take the lead back now. And that's exactly what they did. And, it was just really impressive to watch that ball club. You know, they were, how Florida swept them, I have no idea. I know Florida has an elite pitching staff, but, you know, Texas A&M's bats were smoking hot. I mean, it was just unbelievable to watch them play. And then Mississippi State offense was definitely not the case this past Wednesday down in Biloxi. They played Louisiana Monroe, a school that I know you're pretty familiar with, Parrish.
The Indian Warhawks.
Well, they played them into a 1-0 marathon 14-inning game down there in Biloxi. It was scoreless through 13.5 innings. It was just one of those games where nobody just seemed like they wanted to win. The game ended, I think, 3 minutes before midnight that night. They started that game at 7 o'clock, finished just before midnight. And I guess the only good thing from playing a 14-inning game that late is their opponent, LSU, was also playing a game that finished way after midnight that night due to, you know, rain coming through the area. This weekend is going to be another huge test for Mississippi State, another top 10 opponent in LSU. LSU's playing really well of late, won several series coming into this one, playing a lot better baseball than they were at the beginning of the year, and you knew that would happen. You know, LSU lost so much from last year's team. Then, you know, they've always recruited well down there, but they had a lot of young guys coming into positions this year, and it just took them a while to kind of get going. And I think, you know, now, you know, we're just now getting through the halfway point of the SEC season. Those guys are starting to find their way some, and, you know, have really made for a competitive team. They've actually leapfrogged Mississippi State into that second spot in the SEC West. Obviously, Texas A&M, with the sweep of the Bulldogs this past weekend, have moved into first place in the division. Mississippi State's down to third already. So Mississippi State needs to gain back some ground this weekend that they lost a weekend ago and get some of that momentum back. I mean, Mississippi State still, you know, all the projections, they're still projected to host. They're not a national seed anymore. But, you know, a win in a series over LSU, a top 10 opponent, would go a long way in helping their cause to get back into that national host conversation. And Mississippi State hasn't won a series against LSU since 2006. So it's been a decade since the Bulldogs have beaten LSU in a series. And obviously no better time than the present to go make that happen.
Folks, that's it for this edition of Double Coverage, a production of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. We thank you for being with us. Be sure to check out our news podcast, The Memo, every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday with Brad Locke and Derek Russell, and our high school sports podcast, Prep Rally, with Brad Locke and Gene Phelps every Wednesday. We'll be back here with you next week, usually on a Thursday. I'll be at the draft. We'll have to see how that day goes. It might be a Friday again next week before we produce, but we will have another double coverage for you. Thanks for being with us. We'll be right back.